God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
First created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Get to some legitimate news coming up. There's a hit out against some conservative commentators. This coming from the DOJ. They appear to be victims, in my mind. Even the indictment papers, I think, show that. You may know the name Dave Rubin. You possibly know Tim Pool and less likely Benny Johnson. Nothing against Benny. Of the three, he's the only one I've met. I don't say I've known him. I've had some conversations with him in D.C., but they're being called the latest Russian propagandists, and I'll talk about that. I think it's important to understand who's sourcing this and the ultimate aim at this. It's, of course, disinformation, and Russia's trying to hack our elections, and that's coming from Merrick Garland, the man we should believe about, well, nothing other than what he shows himself to be. But let me pause and just explain something that happened over the weekend. I had the great occasion to be gifted to take one of my students and his father out to pizza. A student meaning I serve in the youth ministry, specifically high school youth. And won't give names, what happens in the group stays in the group. I'll just say, turns out that this young boy's father was a listener to my radio show. Back when I did radio in Seattle, listens to my podcast, and he now knows about this program on American Family Radio, for which I'm so, so endlessly thankful. And he said something to me upon meeting, which I understand, I wish people wouldn't say, which was, it's an honor to meet you. I've said that to radio hosts and media personalities, and I did at dinner, as we were wrapping up dinner, great time, wonderful guy, wonderful family. I love this young man, very unique little dude, totally unique. He said again, hey, it was again an honor. I said, hey, can we rephrase that? How about pleasure? Because it's a pleasure to meet you. On that same evening, standing in line to go into my beloved pizza place I go to once a week in North Idaho, there was a gentleman there who'd listened to my radio program in Seattle, listened to me on Rush Limbaugh's program, listens to my podcast, watches my podcast. 63 years old, celebrating his birthday. His name's Phil. So Phil, happy birthday, now that you know about the AFR show. And again, you said honor to meet me. Honor's mine. How about pleasure? Let's not take people who have unique jobs, and being a radio host is a unique job, increasingly unique. There's fewer and fewer of us national hosts, and it's not an important job. Well, in comparison to other jobs, it's just not. We here have one audience, that's God at AFR. We have millions and millions of family members, that's you. People who donate at AFR.net allow us to put God at the center of our work. And that's why I really am uncomfortable when people say it's an honor to meet me. You and I are very much the same. I do a job, you do a job. I love my child, you love your kids. We're here at AFR because we seek God, more of him. Maybe you're like me in that you fall down sometimes. Maybe you're like me and sometimes you find yourself so convicted by the word that you don't want to spend time in it. Sometimes that happens. Does that happen to you? When you do spend time in the word, you're even more convicted, but even more filled with energy to fight in the right way. Let's keep some things in order. When we meet people who have any form of notoriety, let's remember that it's only God that gave them that. The honor should come from the person being met. For anyone to pay attention to the work, it should be my honor. To meet someone who actually appreciates the work we do here, it should be my honor. Just the same way that when someone comes into your shop, because you're excellent at what you do, you're the best at fixing engines. It's your honor. Aren't you honored that they choose you? I look at other jobs, guys. I got to tell you, I look at jobs in construction. I look at jobs in commercial fishing and farming. I look at you with awe. I think that God gave us all sorts of separate talents. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts, but I want you to know something. I don't think that God set up servant-master relationships based upon profession. Oh, look, he's a Pharisee. In fact, the Lord Jesus, when he came and took human form, he looked at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he did not have kind words for them. Not as a class and not as individuals. When people came to him, the way Nicodemus came to him, yes, of course, I'm the Lord of the universe. I love you. I want you back in the family. I'll take this meeting with you, absolutely, but not because you're a Pharisee. Because you're my child, I'll take this meeting. So there are no servant-master relationships in heaven. I regret times I've met famous people, and I am not famous, but I regret times that I've met famous people and told them, what an honor to meet you. Now, their work, well, that's a separate matter, to talk to someone about their work, but your work, I cannot tell you how much respect I have for the people who provide the food in this country. It's why I'm so very worried about the attack on the food system. There is an attack on the food system. They do intend to have fewer and fewer family farms. What does God intend? Why did he make seeds? Why did he make it both as simple and as complicated as putting the seed in the right place and watering it in the right way and knowing the seasons, and as simple as, hey, I gave you the seed, you didn't have to make a seed. We can't make seeds. We can restructure them. We can, like Monsanto, destroy them and mutilate them. We can't make seeds that make trees. God made that for us. Did he make that so that a few hands could have access to them, so that a few corporate farms could have access to them? No. He made them both simple and beautifully complex. If you grow food for this country, I stand in awe. The work it takes to do that, the commitment, the leverage. I mean, I don't know a lot about the farming business, but I know enough to know that it's often based upon leverage, loans to pay for next season's crops. I only know that because I've got friends who are farmers. If you are a commercial fisherman in this country, I stand in awe. Backbreaking hard work. Crabbing is the same. I've done neither. I have family members who do both. I have a cousin who's the captain of a couple of crabbing boats. Praise God, he's never lost a man. Because it's dangerous work. I stand in awe of you. Fire jumpers. See, we're in the forest fire season out here now. It's been a light summer in terms of weather in the Pacific Northwest, and specifically in Idaho, had far fewer fires this year. Praise God. Fire jumpers who jump out of airplanes to go save our homes. I stand in awe of you. There's very few jobs that I can't look at with some sense of awe. My friends who started this restaurant we went to, where I took my student there, they started it having never owned a thing. Now they own two locations. And the way they treat their employees, these young people who step in and run these places, I stand in awe. You build houses, you can frame a house, I stand in awe. I can't. When we meet one another, let's remember something. That to come and say it's an honor to meet you, look, I appreciate it. I do, and it makes me feel so uncomfortable. I'm the one who should be honored, and I am. But let's not separate job classes anymore into honorable and dishonorable. Please, all work that's legal and well-meant is honorable work. But let's also notice this. There is such a separation in how people view certain jobs. Think of this. All of the attention that's poured upon the politicians, they're making jobs. Every politician says, we make jobs. No. You are a net taker of jobs. Mathematically, you're a net taker of jobs. There's honorable work in politics. Look, I have friends who are politicians. I have a friend who just stepped down from the state Senate and he misses it. And I used to tell him, well, that stepped down. He tries not to run for re-elections. He didn't step down. But I used to tell him, like, Steve, you're one of the good guys. I stand in awe. How do you have patience to work for people who are actively attempting to destroy our country? He said to me, that's just the way God made me. Yeah, profound, but something else. You choose to recognize it. Do you ever give thanks for the talents God gave you? For the unique ways he made you in order to deliver value into a world? There's a lot talked about with stay-at-home moms. I stand in awe. Three or four kids, one hard kid. I stand in awe. Where are you going today? Nowhere. I'm stuck here. Or I choose to be here. And yet so often, it's the focus on the politicians. Look at this woman. She has this all. Where are her kids? Look at this man. He has it all. How's his family? We'll talk tomorrow about the debates that are coming. I would just say this. One of the things that I would talk about in the debates, it won't be discussed. And we'll talk about this tomorrow at length. I was thinking of a series of biblical questions that people could ask during the debates. Such as this, with which biblical king do you most identify since you want to be our king? With which biblical sin do you most struggle? Can you imagine asking Kamala Harris and President Trump, with which common sin do you most struggle? Can you imagine? Well, they can't do that. They're not going to do that on that network. We're a nation of Christians, well, self-identified. About 15% of us actually understand biblical views. Isn't that amazing? But we're a Christian-identified nation, so why not have biblical questions during the debate? I stand in awe of people who can work in politics and save their souls. If you work in politics and you're listening to this and you're one of the people saying, gosh, I like talk radio and I love AFR and man, I wish that they wouldn't. Look, I know. I've met you, not you personally, but I've met people who work in politics and they maintain their souls. I stand in awe that you can do that. That's something God uniquely gifted you with. All of the attention-getting jobs, like this one, it's no different. I'm sitting behind a desk. I'm looking at a computer. I'm ignoring my notes of what I was going to talk about. I'm talking with you about this because I had this experience of men well-intended saying it was an honor to meet me. And I'm worried about one thing. I'm really worried about one thing. The student who I was gifted to take to dinner with last night, God bought us dinner. And I got to meet his dad and spend time with him. He makes a big deal. It's really dear. You know, we'll be at the high school youth group and a new kid will come into our group and this young man will say, Todd's a radio host and a podcaster. And I begged him, please don't do that, buddy. Please don't do that. My job is not important. It's my walk. Sometimes this job gets in the way of my walk. Not at AFR. Because here we speak the word of God very, very freely. I can speak as freely as I want on my podcast. I own it. But there's the product, the news. People turn to me for news and analysis on the podcast. I want to put God at the center of it. Sometimes it gets in the way. Does this ever happen with your job? Okay, we will get to the promised news. I'll talk about the hit coming out in these conservative podcasters and hosts, where it's coming from, CBS News report on that. Guy named Russell Brand, you know him. Comedian, actor, commentator, Tucker Carlson had him on stage, asked Russell Brand to wrap up with a prayer. You got to hear that prayer. Lots to get to. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Thank you. Thank you for listening to AFR, AFR.net, and this is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I don't know these guys. People, sometimes there's a perception that everybody in talk radio, conservative talk radio, we all know each other. That's not true. I've met one of these guys, Benny Johnson. There are three commentators, all very successful in their own regard. Dave Rubin is a same-sex attracted man, and I make that point because he makes that point, who is a former liberal who is now apparently conservative on some things, not particularly conservative, but conservative on some things, much more than he used to be, and identifies now at least as voting Republican. He's a smart man. He's a good commentator, very successful. There is Tim Pool, independent. He started a podcast years and years ago that's done well. It's across all sorts of platforms like Twitch and very good with young people. Tim's very successful. Benny Johnson. Benny has a web TV show and some podcasts, and he has great access in the DC, gets great guests. Of the three, only have I met Benny and had very brief conversations with him in DC. I don't even know if he'd remember. So I don't know these guys. I want to make that clear. I know the organization that's come after them. It's called the Department of Justice. So the actual charging papers in this case describe a company called Tenet Media, run by two Americans, and it was apparently funded by Russia Today, which is called RT Now, stands for Russia Today. And according to the charging documents, these two owners of this network decided to do business with RT. Now it's Russia Today, it's now called RT, and to get a series of investments totaling about $10 million. And then with that $10 million, they went and did some deals with some right-wing commentators. So these two people, Liam Donovan and his wife, Lauren Chen, ran this company called Tenet Media. And they funded about $10 million to this Tennessee-based company. That's where they're based. Now, the allegations are that these hosts took this money and decided to speak the language of Russia, to defend Russian interests. Every single host categorically denies this without reservation, that they never spoke the words that they were told to speak, that it was an arm length deal. Benny Johnson characterizes, as I understand it, the deal of having done and then gone away very quickly. The allegation, of course, is being used against President Trump. Nope, there are all sorts of articles that have President Trump's picture in the headline image, even though President Trump doesn't appear in any of the charging papers. It's coming from a Department of Justice that is deeply, deeply concerned about the media meddling in elections. They're deeply concerned. They are. Yes, they are. This is the same Department of Justice that possessed the Hunter Biden laptop for a number of years while they pretended it was Russian propaganda to sway an election. This is the same Department of Justice that has soft-pedaled all the Hunter Biden cases up to the point where Joe Biden, having nothing at all to lose, will obviously pardon his son for any and all offenses. They did that to sway an election. This is a Department of Justice that pretends that checking voter ID is an infringement upon voting rights. They're doing that to sway an election. This is a Department of Justice that refuses to do anything to prosecute the illegal criminal gangs in the United States of America other than window dressing affairs, and they're doing that to sway an election. This is the same Department of Justice that worked with the Mockingbird Media to claim minutes after the election in 2020 closed, minutes afterwards, this was the safest, most secure election in history. An election where the rules were changed 90 days prior to the election, where there were drop boxes allowed, where people could drop off hundreds of ballots, where signature verification is not done in any serious sense, where you don't need voter ID to get a mail-in ballot, where there were states that had more ballots returned than were sent out. Safest, most secure election in history. The Department of Justice is deeply concerned that Tenet Media, with $10 million, was swaying an election because they suggest that these hosts were speaking Russian propaganda for the money, for $10 million. The money in the Mockingbird media is in the hundreds of billions. CNN alone laughs at $10 million. CNN that has been a mouthpiece for government propaganda. The elections are 99% safe and effective. Safest, most secure election in history. Joe Biden doesn't show any signs of mental incapacitation. They're not kicking Joe Biden off the ticket. That's a vicious, vicious rumor. Well, until it wasn't. So I know the organization that's making the charge, the Department of Justice, they're corrupt. At the very tip top, they're utterly corrupt. They're obviously trying to sway elections. I know the Mockingbird media. They would love to see people like Tim Pool and Dave Rubin and Benny Johnson shut down. After all, they are ignoring the fact that there is a free speech protest in Brazil in the tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 people on the street because that country's judge, a judge, has banned Twitter for no offense. The judge said, hey, there's people saying mean things about us down here. You need to ban them. And Elon Musk said no. So now Twitter's banned there. There was just an NFL game there over the weekend. Our ambassador to Brazil went to the game. No one said a word about this. About the locking down of a free speech platform, somewhat free speech in Brazil. No one in the media said anything about this, but oh, Tim Pool and Benny Johnson and Dave Rubin. Oh yeah, they're speaking Russian lies. So listen to how this is presented. This is CBS News. Okay, so they are part of the Mockingbird media. They're talking about this case. Here's CBS News, a network that slavishly pushed every bit of Democrat and DOJ propaganda about Trump, reporting on the Tenet media controversy.
Just 2 months before Election Day, the Department of Justice accused Russia of an elaborate, sophisticated propaganda campaign to sway voters. Two Russian officials with state-controlled RT are charged as part of an alleged scheme to work with a Tennessee company to publish stories favorable to Russia, to splinter Americans, and dampen support for Ukraine. Both officials remain at large overseas.
The American people were informed when a foreign power engages in political activities or seeks to influence public discourse.
The feds also seized 32 internet domains believed to be tools of Russia's disinformation campaign, directed by Vladimir Putin's administration, with a playbook to push polarizing issues, including inflation, job loss for white Americans, privileges for people of color, threats of crime from people of color, and to target an audience of lower and middle class white Americans as supporters of Candidate A. Though the court filings don't explicitly identify Candidate A, the Attorney General indicated Russia wanted to bolster support for Trump. The Department of Justice says Russia pushed out phony news reports to trick readers and viewers into thinking they were reading real articles from the Washington Post or Fox News, but they were not.
Show me your legal authority or get out.
The propagandists targeted social media influencers who have massive followings to spread this misinformation far and wide. Some articles and videos secured millions of views, including on YouTube.
Russia has used the past several years to refine their tactics, to enhance their impact, and identify new ways to reach an American audience to sway the election.
That was a CBS News election disinformation expert. That would be the same exact network that said minutes after the polls closed, safest, most secure election in history, even though all the rules had been changed, etc. Let's go backward through that story. They talked about fake news stories, legitimately stories that appear to be coming from the Washington Post or Fox News and didn't. Do you know who else did that? Kamala Harris. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you on this program and on my podcast, I showed the images. The Kamala Harris campaign took money and spent it on Google Ads and promoted fake Washington Post stories, Fox News stories. The same thing that Russia did. I expect Russia to do these things. I expect Kamala Harris to do it, but I shouldn't expect it. The Department of Justice did not say anything about Kamala Harris doing that. Oh, this false, false notion that the Russians pushed, that there's special privileges for illegal immigrants, or as they put it, people of color. Well, I don't know that you're getting paid $10,000 in government money to move from one state to another. Illegal immigrants are being handed $10,000 to move to a state. They're being bid upon because their bodies will help destabilize cities, which will drive Americans to want more government control, and their bodies at the same time will give more clout in the Electoral College. It's a dual benefit for the people tearing the country apart. The Department of Justice doesn't care about that. Job loss for white Americans. Well, there's job gains for what they like to call people of color. Well, here's some statistics. These statistics have held true since January 2021, in this about the same proportion. In August, 635,000 foreign-born workers gained jobs in America. 1.3 million Americans lost jobs in America. Just do the math. What percentage of America is so-called white? Well, there's your percentage. In other words, what Russia was doing, if this is all true, was taking actual issues. Inflation is an issue. And putting that in front of low to middle income class voters, putting racial strife in front of people, they're not inventing it. The government's inventing it. We'll talk this week about Springfield, Ohio. Are you paying attention to what's going on there? It's the same thing as transgenderism. It's the same thing. I'll explain how I connect these two. Springfield, Ohio has about 60,000 people living there. They just received 20,000 Haitian immigrants, people coming from a country that has fallen to evil, ruled by cannibal gangs. They've moved into Springfield and they're acting like people who live among cannibal gangs. We can't blame them. They're made in God's image, just like we are. But in their country, yeah, if you see a goose in the park, you capture it, kill it, and eat it. So with cats as well. I'm not the one making the claims. It's residents of Springfield, Ohio, who've woken up to a city utterly, utterly unrecognizable. Quite purposely so. It's a takeover. So how do I compare this to transgenderism? Because it's so very clear. If you want racial strife, bring in people who live in a tribal lifestyle, who do not know how to comport with American values, who are from a desperately poor country where you better believe you're going to eat a cat or a goose if you find one. You don't know where your next meal's coming from. And it won't start as racism. It will start as shock and awe. What are you doing to our city? Why are you, and pardon my language, defecating on my lawn? We don't do that here. We do that in Haiti, but not here. If you want racial strife, do that. Because it will eventually become racial strife, which is a sin. We, of course, are to love newcomers. We ourselves are sojourners here, but they're also to follow our laws. So it's the same as transgenderism in this way. It's the same goal. The thing is never the thing. This isn't about pro-immigration. It's about pro-destruction of the Electoral College. And it's about destabilizing American cities, so more people will beg for human wisdom to come swooping in. The wisdom of Kamala Harris and all her combined achievements in office, such as, being in office, because her achievements end there. It's also a home for people who seek to do harm. Mass migration is a weapon in Islam, and it's a weapon of the drug cartels, because they can hide their soldiers. Transgenderism, the lie thereof, is a weapon for violent men. We'll talk about this, I think, on Wednesday. I'll go through some of the statistics. Men who pretend to be women are about 1,000-fold more violent than men, just average men, just according to who's in jail and prison for violent acts. The recent shooter who took the lives of, I think, 6 people, he'd expressed some sympathy for people who are supposedly transgender, expressed a desire to target an elementary school, expressing frustration with the treatment of so-called transgender people. Now, this young man was, according to his dad, really savagely bullied. And I believe that. I believe that can really harm a child. Bullying is very different these days because it feels permanent. It feels permanent because the bullying lives online forever. And of course, that doesn't forgive anything that this guy did. But you see, just as people are so wedded to, wait, you're against the migrants? You're a racist. You want the migrants dead if you don't want them in your neighborhood. You hate the migrants. You hate the Haitians. You hate the black and brown people. You're a literal Nazi. Nonsense. What people can't stand is watching a city of 60,000 people get 20,000 Haitian immigrants who have no idea how to live as Americans, who have no desire to live as Americans because they don't know what it is, who have been taught, hey, if you see an animal, you best grab it and eat it because you don't know where your next meal's coming from. That's the difference. Just as this within transgenderism. Those aren't boys. Those are girls. And girls aren't boys. You hate the transgenders. You hate children. You want them dead. Same technique. Divide and conquer. Thank goodness the Lord is using this all for his good. A guy named Russell Brand, who has quite a footprint, quite a bit of visibility. I shared with you his baptism a number of months ago and what he said about that, my commentary on it. He just did a prayer during a Tucker Carlson event. I want you to hear that. Then we'll get to the Tower of Babel. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Russell Brand's very talented actor and comedian, and he decided to become a commentator. And based upon his fame in movies, well-earned, very talented man, he decided to become a commentator, largely starting, I think, with the COVID lockdowns, which in my judgment was the most massive psychological operation against humankind in history. I think it is brutal. And what they did to people, well, it's not unforgivable because we have to forgive because the Lord Jesus forgives us. That's why it's forgivable, period, to me. Because every bit of scientific rigor said, don't lock down in the case of an upper respiratory virus. Fauci and everyone knew this. They all knew. So he noticed that and much more about the COVID lockdowns and began doing commentating. That's taken off. He's very skilled. Tucker Carlson decided to have Russell Brand on tour with him, or at least at some of the stops. And I think God has used the lies of as another tool of transgenderism to launch a global revival for Jesus. As this example right here, this is Russell Brand on his knees to Jesus Christ after Tucker asked him to wrap up their interview in prayer.
Close in prayer.
Oh, yeah, all right.
He drops to his knees, by the way. Russell Brand goes to his knees.
I call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Savior. I pray in your name that the forthcoming election be an opportunity for unity for America and for Americans, for forgiveness and for grace. That the dark and demonic forces that appear to operate at the level of the state, the deep state, and the corporate and global world experience your light, Lord, that we are guided, that you guide all of our tongues and all of our words and all of our hearts, that we feel your forgiveness and that we feel your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the glory of consciousness itself in which we can experience you and live you. Thank you for the beauty of nature in which we see your wisdom and your creativity and your infinite glory. Thank you, Lord, for the many leaders, and thank you, Lord, that you were born and died that we may be forgiven and that we may have eternal life, not through merit or anything that we have individually achieved, for surely all of us are fallen, but in your holy name we are forgiven by your act of redemption, by your sacrifice. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
He's a new Christian, a new convert, and there is that zeal that new Christians and new converts have. And to see this at a major media event is absolutely, absolutely to the glory of God. Sadly, this comes during a week where Tucker Carlson decided to have an historian on his program who doesn't just discount the Holocaust, but in fact has at times referred to Nazi rule as preferable to rule by the pink flag mafia of the pride world. Neither is good. Both are sinful. One is ending lives through abortion and wrong sex hormones and surgery for kids. The other did it in death camps. Both, in my judgment, are satanic. I hope Tucker will think again about that. He is a truly gifted man in communication and persuasion. Something happens sometimes when you've been held under a media shackle for a number of years where you're not allowed to truly speak freely. And I don't know to what degree Fox hosts are held under that. I think some of them have very good contracts and can say what they wish. I think Tucker was targeted and taken out from Fox News, probably around the election security stuff, probably. Something happens sometimes where you can speak freely and so you go a little bit nuts. I've done it. When I was a kid, I did it. When I went out from commercial radio for the first time and we did internet radio, one of the things my wife said to me was, you know what? You don't have any restraint anymore and it's boring and it's tedious and it's gross. The restraints work for you. I'm pleased to say now I have a restraint. At AFR, the restraint is the word of God. We're biblically sound here, or we try to be. I try to be. Everyone else is. I try. One thing before we get to the Tower of Babbling, funny thing. The Wuhan Institute of Technology, of Virology, where the COVID flu probably came from through your tax dollars, engineered by Tony Fauci in direct contravention of what President Obama said, you can't give money to the Wuhan lab anymore. So Tony Fauci didn't. He gave it to non-governmental agencies, to nonprofits, and they gave it to the Wuhan lab. They probably have released a highly evolved strain of polio. Well, why would they do that? Well, so they can have a new vaccine. The researchers there, in all likelihood, have released this. Researchers at Francis Pasteur Institute cannot say with certainty where this strain, dubbed WIVI4, originated, but they insisted two possibilities must be explored, including the chance that it originated in the Wuhan Institute itself. We'll talk further about this week when we have more time for it. Oh, by the way, Tim Walz, the deeply troubling and, in my judgment, truly perverted with power and sexual visions of kids. I'm simply looking at policy, guys. I didn't say he did anything to kids other than policy. His policy is truly, truly perverted. He helped get money to the Wuhan lab. And in turn, Minneapolis got money. Minnesota got money. What a turn of events, politics. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Tim Walz on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower Babbling today. Almost always three. Liz Cheney called Kamala Harris a radical, further to the left than Bernie Sanders. Now, Liz endorses her.
She is a radical liberal. She's somebody that has said we ought to spend $32 trillion on Medicare for all. If you look at her record as well in California, she did, in fact, essentially ban gun sales with executive action. And she threatened during the primaries to do the same thing if she were elected here. So I do think the American people are going to take a look at this record and realize she is very much a radical liberal.
So I'm going to vote for her. Her dad said the same thing. He's going to vote for Kamala Harris. Those of us who've said for years, please understand, it's not the parties, it's the party. Here's what we mean. Washington, D.C. is very, very much a separate country from America. The bosses there have their own retirement plan. You don't get that. They have a pension you'll never see. You don't get that. They take home three times as much money as the average American. The people who pay their salaries for the most part. They double and triple dip on jobs. It's the grossest thing. You get into a meeting with a congressional staffer at Washington, D.C., and they'll often hand you three business cards. Here's my official card. Here's my card for the political action committee I work on. And here's my think tank card. All of it, perfectly legal. It's a separate country. It has a separate economy entirely. Here's the business model in Washington, D.C. When they want more money, they take it. When they want a raise, they give it to themselves. This is why they can't stand Donald Trump. He's not a member of the party. It's an exclusive club. You effectively have to be a member to join. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The Mockingbird media that used to call Dick Cheney a war criminal is now praising him as a humanitarian for his decision to vote for Kamala Harris.
I mean, when George W. Bush left office, his approval rating was 22%, but Dick Cheney's was 13%. Herpes was more popular than Dick Cheney when he left office. America woke up from the Bush years by saying, oh my God, what were we smoking? But Dick Cheney is the concentrated distillate left in the bong water. He is everything America most hates and most hated about Republican radicalism in those years. It all went through him.
And now, of course, Dick Cheney is a humanitarian, a man of great, great gravitas, who's come to be a man of his time, saving the country by going against literal Orange Hitler. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. If Kamala Harris either wins the election or is installed as figurehead, small businesses will greatly suffer. A new Michigan law is a sign of things to come under the people who run Kamala.
We can't put our work off till next week or next month or a project off. Like, people are in line waiting to be waited on. They only have a certain amount of time for lunch. And they want to be waited on, and we cannot say, hey, three of our employees did not show up today. No, we don't know what's happening. Can you come back next week?
The law is this. Employees don't have to go to work for three consecutive days without calling in, without giving notice, and they'll face no consequences. You can't run a small business on that, but you can run Washington, D.C. By some measures, as a bureaucrat, you cannot come to work for 6 months and still get paid. Washington, D.C. is very much a separate country. It's one of the reasons why they can't have an outsider step in and run it. After all, he doesn't get it. They're the important ones. It's an honor to meet all of them. After all, their placards say, the Honorable Congressman. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
I am in a weird situation here, and we often wrap up the show with a little bit of a personal analysis for me, a little bit of a sharing, so you understand the person with whom you're speaking. I'm headed off to what some people call an adventure, what some people call madness. Next week, I leave for Seal Fit. And this is outside of Coronado, California. And I had intended to do the 50-hour event. Now, I thought that I could do the 24 hours and then roll over into the 50. I've learned that, no, you have to commit to the 50. You don't get to roll over. Well, that's a big deal. It's 50 hours of working out nonstop. I mean, you get meals. Some of them you eat on the run. For the first 2 days at this event, if I do the 50-hour, which I think I'm going to do, is meals, MREs, meals ready to eat, just like in the armed forces. After all, this is run by retired Navy SEALs. And I think some active SEALs actually get to assist in this, if I'm not mistaken. So people are saying to me, why? I've yet to sufficiently explain to people who are unconvinced. It's for the following reasons. I lost a very dear friend who served our country very honorably, and I never served. This won't make me a soldier. It won't make me someone who was a soldier. It won't mean I could have been one. But as I sweat and don't sleep for at least 24 hours, probably more like 50, I will at least think of my friend and all the things he did, that maybe in some small way, I could have hung with him. Some small way. The other is I'm 57. God has given me a great love of hard physical labor. I cannot get through this on my own power. I am 57. Some of the people I'm going to be doing with this with are in their 20s. I've met the cohort of men who are going to be on my team. All of them are stronger than me. All of them are better at this than me. I do not want to be in last place. I do not want to drag the team down. The only way to do that for me is going to be through the strength of the Holy Spirit. But does God care about this event called Seal Fit? I'm hoping to think of the cross. I'm hoping to think of running the race with endurance. I'm hoping to come out of this having done 20 to 100 times more than I thought I could do. It won't be the physical that gets you through it. They'll see to that. If you show up and you can do 100 unbroken pull-ups, they'll make you do 101 or 102 until you fail. They're going to break you physically. They will try to break you mentally. We pay a lot of money for this, to be around guys like this with this expertise. I've yet to sufficiently explain this to people who don't understand why one would put themselves through this. I will try again. I want to be faced with what God made me. God did not give us spirits of fear, but of bravery. We are unbreakable until God decides otherwise. I want to do this with God, my friend we called Big Ranch, in mind. And I want to do something else. So many of my friends are bugging me to quit CrossFit, to quit doing this, and it's coming in between you and other pursuits. And it doesn't matter how often I tell them. 90% of my workouts are at 4 o'clock in the morning. No one is awake. I can't even functionally work. It's a sacrifice I make because God gave me a love for this thing. That when I get done with Seal Fit, I want to re-examine. To sit down and see, is this something I want to continue to do? The reason I think I will say yes, why else would God give me a love for this? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God decides we can all speak again together. May His peace that transcends all understandings rest upon you and your family. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.